Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 18 and starting at verse 9. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 9. The Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told the parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Thank you for reading that for us so clearly. Let's pray for God's help as we come to think about his word together. Lord God, as we come to look at the Bible, would you help us to understand it, but not just understand it. Would you help us to believe what it says and do it? Amen. Well, as we begin this evening, I'd like to ask you to picture heaven. Now, I don't know what the background looks like, but I'd like you to picture the people in heaven. I wonder what sort of people you think will be there with God in heaven. Let me tell you about some people that I know. Lucy is in her late 20s. She's a keen member of her local church. So she would typically be there a couple of times on a Sunday. She helps with the children's group in the mornings, on Sunday mornings. She's even part of a midweek group, which she's at regularly. She's one of those sort of dependable church women. I wonder if you think Lucy will be there in heaven. What about Jamie? Jamie's a guy I know, and he's a lovely, moral kind of a guy. He would say that he definitely has a spiritual side as well, although he's suspicious of organised religion. And so Jamie's not the sort of guy who you might see in church on a Sunday or at a Christian meeting or something like that, but he definitely does believe in God and has a spiritual side. I wonder if you think Jamie will be there. Let me tell you about Ben. In Ben's own words, he is not religious. And I think what he means by that is that he just doesn't really have time for kind of God and Jesus and church and all that sort of thing. He's got a decent job, he earns good money, and he uses that to have the best time that he can. To be honest, Ben probably had too big a Saturday night to be here this evening, let alone in the morning. I wonder if you think Ben will be there in heaven. We're going to take the next few minutes and look at this parable of Jesus, and it's going to get us thinking about exactly this issue. It's only a short parable, so I'm going to suggest that we read it again. If you've closed your Bible, you might like to open it up to Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9, and we'll read it again together. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, we have a problem when we read this parable, which is this. If you're anything like me and you've been in church for any time at all, you hear the word Pharisee and you immediately think, boo, hiss, he's the bad guy. Because that's right, isn't it? The Pharisees are the bad guys. Well, not quite. If we take a step back into first century Israel, when Jesus is telling this story, the Pharisees are actually the good guys. I mean, they're the ones who were serious about God and the Bible. They were the ones who wanted to get people back into church on a Sunday, who wanted religion right at the heart of the national agenda. So the first thing is, as we read this parable, we need to remember that the Pharisee is actually the good guy. And the same problem applies to the tax collector, actually, because I don't know about you, I don't love paying my council tax, but I guess they do empty my bins and stuff like that. So it probably is fair overall. But again, if we step back into the first century in Israel, well, Israel's an occupied country. The Roman Empire own the place and they tax the locals. But the way they do it, they don't come round themselves. They get other locals to turn against their friends and neighbours and to do the taxing for them. And these tax collectors had significant latitude to overtax and overcharge. The Roman historian Cicero reports how much tax collectors were hated in Israel for their dishonesty. So just as when we hear Pharisee, we're meant to think good guy, when we hear tax collector, we're meant to think that this is someone who makes money from misery. So here we go. Let's have another run at the parable. But we're going to try a bit of a sort of modern retelling to see if we can capture some of the kind of emotional force of this story. So it's Sunday morning, and two very different people have come to church. Sitting in the front row, bold as anything, and quite comfortable because he's in church every Sunday, is a church apprentice or ministry training associate. And he prays to himself, Lord God, thank you that I'm a member of a sound church. Thank you that I'm not one of those guys who drinks too much or parties too hard. Thank you that I've never cheated on my girlfriend. Lord God, thank you that I'm involved with the youth group here. Thank you that I help with the music. Thank you that I read my Bible every day. Lord God, thank you. Well, at the same time, as our church apprentice is praying, somewhere in the back row, where you can't really see him, someone else is sitting. But he's not sitting quite so comfortably because he's not used to being in church. See, this guy is a pornographer. It's not that he's a social outcast. You wouldn't know it to talk to him. Actually, he's quite wealthy and lives quite a comfortable life. But it's dirty money. He's made it exploiting the vulnerable and promoting the perverse. And as this pornographer comes to pray, he looks down at his lap and he says, God, if you can hear me, please forgive me, because I'm a sinner. So here's the question. When you pictured heaven, which one of those two would be a better fit for the crowd that you pictured? Because I know in my heart which one I instinctively want to go for. It's the church apprentice, right? He's the good guy. But the sting in the tail of our parable is that it's not that guy. Just look down at verse 14. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, the pornographer, went down to his house justified rather than the other. And that word justified means right with God, someone who God will welcome in to his heaven, someone he'll love to have with him forever, right with God. See, here's the thing. God doesn't want religion. He wants repentance. God doesn't want religion. He wants repentance. Let's think about that for a minute. Let's think about the Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee loves religion. I wonder if you can spot any of the religious things that the Pharisee does according to our parable. Why don't you turn into your tables for a minute and just see if you can spot all of the religious things that the Pharisee does according to the parable. Is there anyone who's brave enough to shout out something for me? A religious thing that the Pharisee does? Sorry? Yeah, thank you. So he says that he fasts twice a week, verse 12. Any other religious things that the Pharisee does? Yeah, thank you. He tithes, which means he gives 10% of all of his cash to the temple. So he's in a temple, he's praying, he fasts, he tithes. His focus is very much on the good things that he does. And you see, that's how religion works. See, religion is really following a series of rules, doing a series of good things to make God love ye. Just look at verse 9 with me for a moment. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. See, the religious person keeps the rules, does the right things in the hope that that will make them righteous. You see, here's the problem with religion. Religion puts God into one of these, a little box. And so the religious person says, if I'm religious, I say to myself, well, if I fast twice a week, and if I give 10% of all my money, well, of course God will love me, because that's about how big God is, isn't he? If only I come to church on a Sunday and go to youth group, if only I read my Bible every day, well, of course God will love me, because that's about how big God is, isn't he? You see, the problem with that is that God created the universe and every one of us. He made everything. And so, of course, you can't fit God into a little box. It's very interesting, actually. Someone asked Jesus what the greatest commandment of all was. And do you know what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength. Do you hear the alls in that sentence? See, God made everything, and so we owe him everything. We were made to love God and obey him with all of our strength, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our lives. And so, frankly, to squeeze God into a tiny little box called a few things that I do on a Sunday or a few of the rules I keep is offensive to God. But I wonder if you noticed as well that religion inevitably leads to pride. Just look down at verse 9 with me again. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, religion, and treated others with contempt, pride. Now, you see, the religious person is always looking in the mirror and over their shoulder. What do I mean by that? Well, let's think about it. If I'm keeping a series of rules that I think will please God, and if I'm half decent at it, I'll look at myself in the mirror in the morning and I'll think, hey, Andy, you're not a bad guy. I mean, you've kept all the rules. God must be pretty pleased to have you on his team. And as our vision of God gets smaller, our vision of ourselves will just get bigger and bigger in our pride. But not just that, because if I'm looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, yeah, you're not a bad guy, it'll so easily turn into looking over my shoulder at the people around me. And so I'll say, oh, haven't seen that guy in church for a few weeks. I must be doing much better than he is. Did you hear the thing that she said the other day? I would never say anything like that. And so not only does our vision of ourselves get bigger and bigger, but other people end up held in contempt. They're very small next to me. Do you see how ugly religion really is? The God who hates pride, who hates contempt for people, he hates that kind of self-righteous religion. God doesn't want religion. He wants repentance. Well, let's think about the other side of that for a moment. Let's think about the tax collector. Can anyone spot, what does the tax collector recognise about himself? It's not a rhetorical question, so do shout out. Yeah, thank you. He recognises that he's a sinner. Verse 13, look down at that with me. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, maybe it's easier if you've lived an obviously immoral life. Maybe it's easier for the pornographer than the church apprentice. But here, the tax collector recognises that he's a sinner, that he's sinned against God. And when we hear that, we're not to think the worst of the worst. You see, the Bible is quite clear that anyone who rejects God and tries to run their life their own way is a sinner against God. And we might do that by squeezing God into a little box, and so we say, well, as long as I show up on Sunday, and as long as I keep whatever set of rules I decide, well, the rest of my time is my own, and I can run that my way, can't I? We might do it that way. Or we might do it by simply ignoring God and pretending he's not there. As far as we're concerned, the box might be empty. But the Bible's quite clear that every one of us rejects God and tries to run our life our own way. And you see, the tax collector recognises that. And here's the big thing that he does. He turns back to God for mercy. That's what that word repentance means. Turning back to God, turning away from sin, back to God, and asking for mercy. And actually, that gets right to the heart of what authentic Christianity is all about. See, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you'll know that Jesus has told any number of parables about how God is looking for lost people. Jesus said that he didn't come to save people who think they're righteous, but sinners. Actually, in this section, if you look back to 17 verse 11, we know that Jesus is telling this story on the way to Jerusalem. And we know that that journey to Jerusalem, if only you'll read on in Luke's Gospel, ends on a cross. Jesus went to a cross, and on that cross, he took the punishment for all of our pride and all of our rejection of God and all of our religion that's offensive to God. He took the punishment in our place so that we could have mercy from God. Do you see, the wonderful news of the Christian faith is that because of Jesus, we can pray the prayer of the tax collector and be certain that God will give us mercy and forgiveness and welcome us into his heaven with open arms. Do you see, God does not want religion. He wants us to admit that we've sinned against him and come back to him for mercy, which is freely available through Jesus Christ. God doesn't want religion. He wants repentance. Well, I wonder if you notice, this is a parable that leaves us with a choice. It's there in the second half of verse 14. Just look down at it with me. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the story leaves us with a choice. We can go on down the religious route. We can keep on thinking that we've got a lot to offer God. We can keep on looking in the mirror and thinking, yeah, I'm not a bad guy. We can exalt ourselves. And actually, that'll be a very easy thing to do in our culture. Because don't we live in a culture that says, well, you'll go to heaven if only you're more like Ned Flanders than Homer Simpson. Or more like Mother Teresa than Marilyn Manson. Isn't that what our culture says? So it'll be very easy to keep going down the religious route. But do you see, the parable warns us that that will lead to pride and contempt for others. And ultimately, verse 14, second half, we will be humbled. But you see, on the day when everyone in the universe must give account to the God of the universe, if we've exalted ourselves, if we've gone down the religious route, he won't want us in his heaven forever. Because it's offensive to him. So that's the religious route, and we can keep going down that. We can keep travelling that road. But the parable gives us another option, which is to admit that we're sinful and turn to God for mercy. To pray the prayer of the tax collector, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the wonderful truth of the Christian gospel is that if we'll only come back to God for mercy, he'll love to give it to us through Jesus Christ. We can be certain of his forgiveness and of heaven ahead. Well, you may have been, you may be someone who's been coming to church for some time, and maybe you've never quite realised this. Maybe you've always thought that coming to church is something you do to tick off another thing on the religious tick list, to do another right thing that will please God. Look, if that's you, can I say you can keep walking down that religious road, but please don't think there's any future in it. It will lead to pride and contempt now, and being humbled when we stand before God. But there's another option available. Today, you could come back to God, admit that you're sinful, and ask him for mercy. You could pray the prayer of the tax collector. He prayed, verse 13, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, right with God, sure of heaven ahead. It may be that as you heard this parable, actually the tax collector was the character that you felt much more affinity with. Maybe as you look back on your past, you're all too aware of things that you're ashamed of, things that you know were wrong. Well, if that's you, please don't think that the answer is just to sort of turn over a new leaf, to add a bit of religion or a bit of church or something to your life, as if that will sort things out between you and God, because he doesn't want religion. The great news is that you too can turn to God and ask for mercy. The cross means that all sorts of people, students and schoolboys and bankers and accountants and prostitutes and pornographers, can all know mercy from God if only they'll admit that they're a sinner and turn back to him and ask for mercy. But here's the thing. This is not just a sort of starter truth for the Christian faith. It's not just introductory. The great 19th century bishop J.C. Ryle said this: we are all naturally self-righteous. Let me give you that again. We are all naturally self-righteous. What that means is if you're a Christian here today, like me, naturally, in your heart of hearts, we love the religion route. We love it. We love to look at the things we do and say, yeah, actually God must be pretty pleased with that. I'm not a bad guy. And so this is a decision. The decision this parable calls us to is one that we'll need to make every single day. Every day I'm going to need to turn away from looking at the things I do and thinking, oh, they'll make me good enough for God. And I'm going to need to get down on my knees and pray to God, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God doesn't want religion. He wants repentance. Well, as I finish, here are a couple of practical suggestions that might just help us to really act this out this week. Here's one I'm going to try. Each morning this week, when I get up and look at myself in the mirror, I'm going to pray to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because beliefs are things that we do, aren't they? If we say that we believe that we're sinful, we'd better be asking God for forgiveness very regularly. Better be asking him for mercy every day. Actually, that's why it's great we had a confession tonight. It's great to do it together. But maybe you'd like to do that this week as well. Each morning, to pray that prayer and ask God for mercy because of your sin. But here's another one. Next time you're out with friends and someone does something you know to be wrong, maybe they say something and you know it's not right, it's not appropriate, and you feel that thought, oh, that's wrong. Why don't we make the next thought that we think a prayer to God? God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and recognise, yes, that whatever that person did was wrong, but that in our hearts lurks the desire to reject God and go our own way all the time. Maybe that will help us to resist pride and contempt and comparison. But here's a third little thing. It may be that you've always lived the religious route and you've never admitted your sin to God and you've never come to him and asked him for mercy. Well, one practical thing you could do this evening would be simply to say that prayer of the tax collector and ask God to forgive you because of what Jesus Christ has done. In fact, I'm going to pray now, and if you want to join my prayer, then do just say Amen at the end with me. So let's pray. Lord God, be merciful to us, sinners. Dear Lord God, please would you keep us from thinking that you desire religion? Would you keep us from squeezing you down into a little box marked our obedience? Please keep us day by day turning back to you and asking for mercy. Amen.